Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings. My name is Casey Luskin, and on this ID the Future podcast, I'll be discussing whether some scientists think that evolution has practical benefits for science and society. Recently, some prominent scientists have discussed the practical benefits evolution holds for society. In a book review entitled Selling Darwin, evolutionary biologist Jerry Coyne writes in a recent issue of the journal Nature that, quote, "If truth be told, evolution hasn't yielded many practical or commercial benefits. Yes, bacteria evolved drug resistance, and yes, we must take countermeasures. But beyond that, there is not much to say. Evolution cannot help us predict what new vaccines to manufacture because microbes evolve unpredictably. But hasn't evolution helped guide animal and plant breeding? Not very much. Most improvement in crop, plants, and animals occurred long before we knew anything about evolution, and came about by people following the genetic principle of like begets like. Even now, as its practitioners admit, the field of quantitative genetics has been of little value in helping improve varieties. Future advances will almost certainly come from transgenics, which is not based on evolution at all." Unquote. Incidentally, one of the two commercial uses Coyne does find for evolution includes, quote, "the use of directed evolution to produce commercial products, such as enzymes to protect crops, plants from herbicides." But of course, we know that directed evolution is otherwise known as intelligent design. While evolution can surely help us understand things like antibiotic resistance, other eminent scientists also question whether evolution has public benefits. Writing The Scientist, chemist Phil Skell, a member of the National Academy of Sciences and professor emeritus at Pennsylvania State University, authored an article in 2005 entitled, "Why Do We Invoke Darwin? Evolutionary Theory Contributes Little to Experimental Biology." Skell writes that, quote, "most can conduct their work quite happily without particular reference to evolutionary ideas. A.S. Wilkins, editor of the journal Bioessays, wrote in 2000, quote, "evolution would appear to be the indispensable unifying idea and at the same time a highly superfluous one." Skell goes on to write, "I would tend to agree. Certainly my own research with antibiotics during World War II received no guidance from insights provided by Darwinian evolution, nor did Alexander Fleming's discovery of bacterial inhibition by penicillin. I recently asked more than 70 eminent researchers if they would have done their work differently if they had thought Darwin's theory was wrong. The responses were all the same. No." Skell goes on to find that many major discoveries in experimental biology were not aided at all by evolution. These include the discovery of the DNA double helix, the characterization of the ribosome, the mapping of genomes, research on medications and drug reactions, improvements in food production and sanitation, and the development of new surgeries. Skell also writes, quote, "I even queried biologists working in areas where one would expect the Darwinian paradigm to have most benefited research, such as the emergence of resistance to antibiotics and pesticides. Here as elsewhere, I found that Darwin's theory provided no discernible guidance, but was brought in after the breakthroughs as an interesting narrative gloss," unquote. Skell concludes, "Darwinian evolution, whatever its other virtues, does not provide a fruitful heuristic in experimental biology," and says, quote, "the claim that it is the cornerstone of modern experimental biology will be met with quiet skepticism from a growing number of scientists in fields where theories actually do serve as cornerstones for tangible breakthroughs." So as you can see, according to some prominent biologists and chemists, evolution is not necessarily providing fruitful insights into experimental biology and yielding practical benefits for society. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast coming from the Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington, signing off. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.